All right. Your water bottle looks like a hummingbird feeder.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. The holes.
Yeah. So I guess just to start off, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from, where you were born, you grew up, maybe a little bit about your family?
Sure. My name is Paul Jacob. I grew up in the Fox River Valley, which is Neenah, Menasha, Appleton area. Mm-hmm. I grew up on a farm. I have 7 siblings, 5 brothers and 2 sisters. I fall right about in the middle. Oh. Went to a small grade school in Winchester and a relatively small high school in Winneconne, both near the valley. I went to college at UW Oshkosh and at SUMI College in Upper Michigan, which is now called Finlandia University. And then I took some classes later on at the Fox Valley Tech School and the Northeast Wisconsin Tech School. And I worked here at the AIDS Resource Center for 26 years.
So how did you become involved in the LGBTQ community, either where you're from or in this area? Mm-hmm. What kind of got you
interested? Well, this might be a little bit of an interesting story, but I came out my first year of college at when I was in UW Oshkosh. I grew up in a pretty sheltered family, pretty religious family, so I guess I was a late bloomer as far as coming out. But like many LGBT persons, I've had a lot of issues and difficulties and struggles with the coming out process. And when I was going to school in Upper Michigan, this kind of all came to a head and I was having a lot of troubles. And I made arrangements to transfer to UW Oshkosh because I knew I could see a psychiatrist free of charge. So I transferred to UW Oshkosh. I went to the counseling department a few times because you really need to be referred to see a psychiatrist, you know, through the counseling mm-hmm. office there. So I went to the counseling office for several meetings. I was referred to the psychiatrist there. His name was John somebody. I don't remember his last name. But I remember walking into his office for the first time and this distinguished-looking gentleman sitting behind a giant oak desk, just what you'd expect in a psychiatrist's office. And I sat down and he said, "What can I do for you?" And I said, "I'm gay and I don't want to be." Yeah. And that's, I think, probably a similar story to a lot of people, which is why a lot of LGBT people have problems with people who say it's a choice, because for most people it is not, and I certainly did not want to be gay. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I kind of lucked out with him because this John person, I should investigate and find out his last name, I don't know why I haven't. He was one of the 7 psychiatrists on the panel that the government set up way back, I believe it might have been in the early 70s, I'm not sure, that actually determined or made a determination that homosexuality was not a disease or whatever. So, you know, he was one of those psychiatrists. And what he said to me, almost before he said anything else, he said, "I can't tell you if you're gay or not, but what I can tell you is if you're gay, you might as well just get used to it because you're not going to change." Mm-hmm. And he said the best way that he could describe it was, apparently, if you take a baby goose, a gosling, and there's a critical period of time, a few hours into their life, where if you take the mother away and put in a beach ball or an elephant or whatever, mm-hmm. that little chick's gonna think that's its mom, you know, for the rest of its life. Mm-hmm. And the way he thought back then, I don't know, some of this research might have changed since, you know, the 79, I think it was, when I saw him, but maybe not either. Mm-hmm. But he said, as far as we know, there's something that happens in very early childhood that just determines one way or the other somebody's sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I took it to heart, and I pretty much just, I guess, was, in spite of my problems, I was strong enough and comfortable and confident enough, and that I just decided, okay. So I joined at the time it was called the Gay Student Association on campus at Oshkosh. Mm-hmm. If we had 3 or 4 people, that was a big meeting back then. Wow. met a couple people there, and that helped with the process a little bit, just to know there were other, you know, I'm not the only one in the world, so that was helpful. Now, on another interesting note, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was asked by the, I think it's called, the group that's in Oshkosh now, I think it's called Hope or something like that.
Yeah.
They're Gay Straight Alliance.
Okay.
Anyways, I was asked to go back there as part of the agency here and do some HIV testing. Mm. They're still meeting in the same room that
we had met in
back in, I'm sure it was 1979.
That's amazing.
And I don't think I'd been on campus since then, and it was weird walking through there, and like, I'm seeing cracks in some of the tiles on the floor that I remember from walking in there, which maybe says I was looking at the floor too often, but I mean, just so many little things rang a bell. It was bizarre going back in there, but it was neat to see them doing well. And I think they had, well, I've been there twice since then doing education and presentations, and they had like about 30 people in the group, which is up from the 3 that were typically there when I was joining. So anyways, I became a little bit of an activist then. Partly because since then I have not wanted other people to go through what I went through and what I know a lot of other people have gone through, the coming out process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of depression and suicide, as you know, in the community, and so.
Yeah. So around that time period, what was the political climate, the kind of community in when you were in Oshkosh, what was that like, people's attitudes on?
Well, the gay scene was very underground because it was just not a topic that people talked about in this, I guess you could call it a rural community or these rural communities. It just wasn't a topic. Wasn't something people talked about. I believe at that time there was maybe one gay bar in Green Bay, one gay bar in Appleton, and that's really the only place that gay people could go to actually be around like-minded people or to be open and honest about who they were. You couldn't go, you know, you couldn't be open and out to your family. I would say probably, you know, maybe 1 in 1,000 families would be cool with it, but typically you could not be open with your family. You couldn't, you know, go out on a date. You couldn't hold hands anymore. I mean, really nothing you could do except just go to these bars. And even the bars back then were what you might call underground. I mean, they typically would not have a front door. They would only have a back door. They wouldn't have signs. They wouldn't have lighting in front. They wouldn't open during the day. They'd only open after dark. Nobody would park their cars near these bars. I mean, it was a different world. It was a little bit scary. Everybody was afraid of being outed or being accused to be out or whatever. So it was weird, but things have come a long way in those years.
So was there, as far as you could tell, in the community, a lot of like bashing, or were there incidents that you remember that either happened around the gay bars or within the gay community, any sort of like...
Well, I think there has always been the element of bullying. I don't know that that's changed a lot. I think it gets a lot more attention now because of everybody's walking around with a camera in their pocket, you know, but I think there's always been bullying if people were suspected of being gay. I do remember one night way back in the day at one of these bars where... an older gentleman who happened to be a friend of mine was beat up kind of badly in the bar, had his eye socket broken by some guys who came in and just wanted to, you know, beat up some fags. And we called the ambulance and the rescue squad came from St. Elizabeth Hospital, and the two EMTs were pretty amused about the whole thing. I mean, even at the time, I thought, this is so incredibly unprofessional. But they were just making fun of it right while they were there and thinking, you know, who cares? It's a bunch of gay guys and they're drunk and they probably got what was coming to. I mean, it was a sad location, sad situation. In fact, then they took him in for treatment and they took him to St. Elizabeth Hospital and he was in for a little bit, and then they like just released him. They sent him out the door, and I don't remember exactly how I ended up going over there looking for him or something, and he was like wandering around in a daze in their parking lot. He didn't quite even know where he was. He was from the, you know, concussion and eyesight break and stuff, and they just kind of released him. But, you know, that kind of stuff was probably a little more typical back then than it is now.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think that this community, the Green Bay area, has changed, if at all, in its attitudes towards LGBTQ issues over time that you've seen?
Well, I think it has changed immensely for the positive. And I'm 53 years old, and I think the older you are, the greater perspective you have of how things changed.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a lot of youth who are gay, lesbian, questioning, bisexual, transgender, and they may not see how much progress has been made because they're very young. But these stories that I just described a little while ago, you don't see too much of that nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of straight, the majority of, I would say, straight community leaders and agencies and organizations are very supportive and understanding and compassionate of the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that certainly was not the way it was years ago. Part of the reason for that, I think, is all of the people who have gotten very involved over the years in educating the public.
Mm-hmm.
I think television has played a huge role. There have been, it's just been a theme and a topic of several different shows. You know, a lot of the shows have had gay characters on there. I think that has helped educate people a little bit. Some of the characters may be a little stereotypical, and some people might have an issue with that, but I don't. I mean, it's comedy, it's humor, it's television shows, whatever. I mean, I just think it's done some good. And then there have been a lot of celebrities who have been very vocal about being supportive of gay people, of the HIV/AIDS cause, which of course has been affecting gay people more than anybody else. But all in all, I think things have changed just tremendously over the decades.
Mm-hmm. So, speaking of HIV/AIDS, you're obviously involved in that now. What was that like around in this community as far as, like, were there cases popping up, you know, during the 80s? And what was the response of the community to that?
Well, in the very early 1980s, was when there was a few cases identified on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't really even know what it was then. And then it was soon determined that gay people seemed to be at higher risk than anybody else. And so there was a grassroots movement in little pockets around the country where people were getting together to start doing HIV testing when that test came available
mm-hmm.
in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was tending bar in Green Bay, and there was a group of community-minded guys that used to come into, this was a kind of a professional bar, business people and, you know, afternoon cocktail hour kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. And of course, this was a topic on everybody's mind because nobody knew too much about it. And they were thinking, you know, gee, we really need to get something going here and start some testing. So this would have been in 1985 when the test became available.
Mm-hmm.
So they wrote a grant to the Wisconsin Department of Health, got some assistance from the local Brown County Health Department here, and started testing people in a tiny little building next door to where that bar was on Broadway Street in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And that agency grew, and within a year, they purchased a building where they could do testing on a more permanent basis. And they started hiring additional staff as they could afford it, usually through grant-funded, you know, employment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Was also, I believe, in the late 80s when United Way of Brown County agreed to fund a testing program in the gay bars. Mm. Now that is a great example of a community agency,
mm-hmm.
you know, showing some compassion
yeah.
and understanding and realize this is a health issue. They still fund this agency, but that gave the HIV aspect some credibility, I think. You know, it gave it some attention
mm-hmm.
that it needed from a very respectable organization. But I'll tell you, back in that day, people who are my age remember our friends dropping like flies,
mm.
and it was scary. I mean, I remember vividly many times when we'd sit around the bar and just make lists of all our friends who have died, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 people that we just scrub,
oh,
what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? We'd add them to the list and just make these long lists. And these are people that we hung around with and partied with. I mean, they were just dropping everywhere.
Mm.
It was scary. That has changed too, fortunately, over the years, you know, with the medications.
Mm-hmm.
I think the someone infected with HIV 15, 20 years ago lived an average of 7 years, and now I think it's 23 years to, we don't really know,
mm-hmm.
because people are doing well on medications now. So
mm-hmm.
that's come a long way.
Yeah. And what was, like, was there, like, a lot of, like, any local media coverage on that, or any sort of incidents with the community, the, you know, non-LGBTQ community, people who, you know, might have been, had some animosity towards the LGBTQ community in terms of AIDS, HIV AIDS?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, I'm sure there were lots of individuals who, you know, mostly because of their religious
mm-hmm.
convictions, just in no way will ever accept anything related to the whole LGBT
mm-hmm.
lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard over the years a lot of people talk about the differences between the Appleton-Fox Valley
mm-hmm.
region and Green Bay, and they make statements about the Appleton area being much more understanding and open than the Green Bay area is. I've never fully bought into that argument.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've lived in Green Bay since 1980,
mm-hmm.
and I know lots of professionals, and I work with lots of agencies, and I'm out with everybody, and I know lots of other people who are out and open and working involved in the community. I mean, I've been involved in all kinds of community stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I don't mean LGBT stuff. I mean just
mm-hmm.
you know, the greater
yeah.
community
yeah.
stuff. And I never hide my, I mean, I don't flaunt it, but
right.
I never hide my sexuality, and I really have never had any kind of a backlash or issue with it. I do know it's a thorn in a lot of people's side in the LGBT community that the local the diversity, the multicultural center in Green Bay
mm-hmm.
does
mm-hmm.
not consider LGBT community to be a culture, so they have really never had
mm-hmm.
anything to do with the LGBT
mm-hmm.
community, which is a total opposite of what's going on down in Appleton, because they have always been very integrated and interested in
mm-hmm.
you know, having
mm-hmm.
that be a part of the cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. My guess is, again, there are probably some people who are woven into that organization who have religious convictions that...
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
I think the same thing was true with the Green Bay Area Chamber of Commerce. Now, we've had mixed success there. I mean, I think there are some people who are within the Chamber of Commerce that are very supportive of this whole issue, and there are some people...
Are you going to be here while you?
Yeah, but you can come in and work while we're here.
Oh,
well,
no, I'd rather leave it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're
doing
it.
Otherwise.
What do you think? Probably half an hour or something we'll be here, or less than that? Or
yeah,
I
mean, however long you
yeah.
can be here.
I'd say less than a half hour we'll be here.
Well, it's going on through. Maybe I should let it go for the rest of the day. I mean, I got that much done this morning.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it up to you. That's a ton of stuff.
Well,
Richard, I'm going to leave it up to you, because we can also move into one of the conference rooms. That's
well,
no problem at all.
I mean, if you'd rather stay here, if you're okay
it
with
doesn't
all
matter.
That care,
yeah.
and I can come in for a while, it's up to you.
Yeah, can we just move into a conference room?
Yeah.